three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Steph.
Hello everybody, NBL Pocket Podcast, Joseph Corr here. Andrew Canyon is across the way. We're doing this one fast. We want to get in and out in 30 minutes. What are we talking about today? We're talking about Cotton, Riley, and the Wildcats. We're talking and asking the question, are Southeast Melbourne done? Bit of Tyler Harvey appreciation, a little bit from Twitter, and then we are, what was the last thing? Forgot what it was. NBLX NBA. Andrew Canyon, how you doing?
Hello, Joe. Basketball. We're talking basketball. I'm trying to get my mind off home repairs. Mm. It is basketball all the way.
So there you go. No more blinds. We're getting to the games. Let's do this.
Purely about NBL.
We're recording this on the 8th of October at about 10 o'clock on the East Coast, which makes it 7 o'clock on the West Coast due to daylight savings. Let's go all the way over to the West Coast.
Daylight savings back.
Oh, it's back in the biggest and best way. Let's stay on the West Coast. Let's talk about Cotton, Riley, and the Wildcats. What did you think of their most recent games? A lot of people are upset about Riley. They're a 1-3 record. They've extended Riley. We're going to talk about all that. You saw their games. What do you think of this team?
Well, actually, I only saw one of the games. I had a dinner on the Friday night and went out for dinner, so I couldn't watch the game. And I got home from dinner. I was like, should I check the score or should I wait till I can watch the game and enjoy it in its entirety? I couldn't resist. I checked the score. And it was fantastic because I bought back 2 hours of my life. And I was like, I'm not going to watch that.
No.
That was a disaster.
You're talking about the... Oh, shit, because it was two games. The Melbourne one. Oh, I didn't even bother with that. I was shocked. So you didn't watch it at all? Did you look at the box score? The box score was broken on the app. So I had the same thing as you. Saw the result and thought, I'm not going to bother. And then I thought, well, I'll check out the box score, see what everyone did. And it was broken on the app. So I just went, you know what?
Oh, great.
If the NBL's not going to help itself, I'm not going to help the NBL. So I just moved right on. Did you get any impression from people that what the F happened?
Oh, but it was just a complete beatdown, apparently.
Without Dellavedova.
Yes, what? Yes.
And he's been playing great. Like, we normally rag on the guy. He's been playing fantastic.
I know, but Shai Ili stepped up and did what he needed
to do
in his absence.
Cotton had, like, sub 10 points, 6 points or something. Then I asked the question, did you watch the next game, the Tasmania game?
I did watch the Tasmania game.
Great, kind of fun game. Not a great quality until the last
game. So ugly. Oh.
Brutal.
It's just so much, fouls everywhere, ragging. Everybody's whinging about every single call.
A lot of whinging, yeah.
A lot of whinging. This is the thing I noticed. I reckon the Perth Wildcats have now adopted the personality of their coach.
Oh, you stole the words right out of my mouth. Keep going.
Yeah. So I think so often you see this. You see teams play and style themselves after their coach who sets the tone. Mm. So, Phoenix, for instance, ineptitude. Meek. You just see nothing.
I totally
Brisbane,
agree.
Zero personality. That's Justin Shuler.
Wow. Okay. Vanilla. You're saying skim milk up there in far north.
But now we've got Perth. John Riley, whinger.
Erratic.
Perth. Yeah. Erratic and a bunch of whingers. So
it's no good look. And what I don't like about the Wildcats under Gleeson and others have always had you'll either win our way or lose our way. The scorelines were never that hugely divergent. We've had big scoring nights from the Wildcats. We've seen them give up lots of points, hold lots of points, scrag. It's that they're playing everybody else's game but Wildcats games. Now, I do want to put a little footnote to all this. A lot of road games and Ty Webster going out. Did we see a greater value in Ty Webster? Did we see that in the vacuum of him, this team was a lot worse? I really rate his game and think he's a big factor.
I don't think he's that big a factor. I think the best thing he does is he keeps Cotton out of playing point guard.
But I think that's invaluable.
You saw what happened in the Tassie game. So they doubled Cotton every time. He makes the smart play, draws the double as late as he can, and then has to sort of, because he's so small, he has to kind of pop up and pass out of it.
True.
But it takes him off the ball. And so he's just, the fact that they didn't restructure or change that approach to offense just continue to allow that double to take him out of the game. Mm. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. And that's something I want to talk about. I put out a tweet that was something like, do the Wildcats know what they have? They seem to be playing the sort of Anadu Efes playbook where Cotton played before the NBL and was a non-factor. This is a catch-and-shoot player, not predominant, not exclusively, but predominantly. He just doesn't seem to swing that baseline. He never seems to be making a dynamic catch anymore. It's all high pick and roll, or at least a lot of high pick and roll, a lot of ball delivery up the three-quarter court. I'm just like, I don't... It's as if they just go to the least percentage play. And he's a really good player, so he still kind of gets his stats. But it's just not... You're not playing to your hand at all. And is it an ineffectiveness on Riley's part? Is it just... I just think this is the Wildcats now, where they have a tough schedule, they fall, where they come up against a smart team, they lose, and when they play bad teams in Perth and the other team has had to travel, they win their games. I don't know, they just don't impose on games.
I think they're just an average team. They're just average.
I don't know. Jack Jumpers
weren't that much better, though, I want to say. They were pretty terrible as well. Milton Doyle had a bad game until that last shot at the end.
But again, and then he
came to the fore.
Switches on to Cotton, who doesn't foul, and he just rises up.
You got
to
foul. You got to foul.
You got to do something, and not just like switch on every screen. Just immediately give up and never fight over, never bump a guy off balance. It was certainly a game where you're allowed to bump a guy. Milton Doyle makes that catch. Yep. I could tell that was going down the moment he caught it. The thing we have to talk about, the sideline skirting. Do you give a shit that Steindl moved perhaps over a meter? I think this is the lamest gripe of the NBL of the last decade. What do you think?
I'm a stickler for these kind of rules. I was watching. I'm like, where's the 3 second calls gone these days?
Imagine imagine if, I don't know how long was on the clock, under 10 seconds, and you want Michael Allen to go, oops, sorry, went 1.2 meters. Fuck off. Sorry, language.
I want players back in small shorts. I want to buy peanuts at the game. I want an organ. Organ music.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, you could have it. I just thought it was... I mean, Wildcat fans, I understand you've had a lot of sweet success. A lot of sweet success.
Yep.
Now you're tasting some new notes, some new flavors, and bitterness at the front of the tongue, and it's a hard one. It's a hard pill to swallow.
I just want to clarify, though, that as much as I think he broke the rule in traveling, or I don't care, and I don't think that let it go on. The shot was still made. Like, that would have been a bollocksy way for the game to end as well. So yeah. I'm okay with it playing on, but I do think that players shouldn't make a habit out of doing that.
Yeah, make a habit. I like the way you look. Can I give you some stats? Can I get some stats for your ass, Canyon? Cotton so far this season, 19 points per game, 37% from the field, 35% from the three-point arc, seven free throw attempts per game. Six free throw attempts per game. I was thinking those numbers were going to be drastically different from his last season under Gleason. They're about the same. Cotton's points have been down because he had that one bad game of four, but the splits are about the same. There's no real difference. However, usage percentage under Gleason, 30%. Usage percentage under Riley so far this season, 25%. 5% is not a seismic look on the score sheet, but doesn't it feel a lot worse? Don't you feel like this team doesn't go to Cotton? Like, in those last couple of minutes against Tasmania, it was Doolittle, and he was really good. But it felt like if you were a new person to the sport, and a new person to those two teams, and you tuned in, you'd be thinking, who's Milt Doyle? And who's this Doolittle guy? They must be the best on the floor. And you'd have to tap someone on the shoulder and say, no, that's not how this league works. But that's just the righteous. But
yeah,
maybe I'm crazy.
Right. I think this is where, Bryce Cotton's probably his own worst enemy, in that he will try and make the smart basketball play. He'll try and pass it on. He'll say, oh, I'm drawing the double team, so let somebody else get the ball. But your coach needs to be smarter than that. You need to run plays to get him free, because he is still your clutch guy. It's ridiculous. Like, did the Bulls often go away from Michael Jordan at the end of the game? The Lakers often go away from LeBron? You have a superstar player for a reason. And let them determine the win or the loss at the end of the day.
And it was so obvious when they had a few injuries that the blueprint wasn't there for the next guy up. And as a result, they totally floundered against Melbourne. I didn't predict it. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. But it just looked so palpable, where reserves are like, oh, you want me to create like a Cotton? And you want me to fill that role and do all this? Yeah. Like, just let me... you know, let me be a C ball, get ball player, or an A to B, run an offense, you know, get it to the guy with offensive finesse and flourish. But it was just asking too much of too few. Yeah.
Just before we move on, because we need to move on, but can I just say, we're all out here playing checkers. John Reilly's playing chess. He has convinced management to give him an extension and then goes out and has this kind of performance. I don't know what kind of whisperer. He must schmooze management well. Gets an extension.
We'll revisit the 3-year at the quarter mark of the season and we'll make a judgment. Hey, let's go to Twitter. Let's take it to the tweets, Canyon.
Cool.
Ben Mann has a topic for us. Wildcats are getting a rebrand. Which team, if any, requires a rebound to refresh / re-engage their fans? I think the Wildcats should go back to that old logo in the new colours. That's my quick answer. What do you think?
Yeah, Wildcats, the rebrand would be good. I'd like to see them playing in yellow, black and yellow. Black
That'd
and
be
gold.
Kind of cool, but that's a Swan Gold thing and it's not a sponsor, so I understand. But
it's the WA colours. It's the WA
colours.
Very true.
Black and very gold. Keen point. Nick Tan asks, should the marquee...
Hang on, I haven't finished that. I've got to answer
sorry,
the question. Because that wasn't just about the Wildcats rebrand. Didn't he say what other team deserves
he
a rebrand?
He did say what other team. I don't think any other team...
Okay.
Brisbane.
Oh, no, I think the Brisbane Bullets need a rebrand.
Yeah, right, okay.
Like, they're so anemic. Like, there's not. I don't understand that brand at all. It's just kind of like a blue with no... Like, what's that got to do with bullets? There's just nothing bullety about the Brisbane Bullets.
You want to see them change to, like, the Bears? That could be fun. A rebrand is fun.
Yeah, they need something. I don't know whether it's to change the name or... It's just like... I know everybody's like, we're woke now, so we can't actually talk about bullets going guns and shoot things. We need to be vague about that. So if you don't like the name, change it or make bullet into something else. But yeah, their current representation of their brand is sad.
Nick Tan asks, should the marquee player rule be extended to imports? I think yes. The pool of marquee level imports is much greater than Aussies and would lead to an increase in the overall talent levels. That's really a statement more than a question, and I'll leave it as a comment. Do you have a sort of retort or critique of that one?
I'm going to say no. I like the idea of the marquee being linked to an Australian, but I'm going to take it and turn it a little bit because I still think there should be some bonus. We've talked about this before, but there should be some bonus for bringing in a guy from a lower level league and bringing him in. So maybe if it's an import that played NBL 1 the previous season, they get non-import status.
That's not bad. I like that. Mitchell Robinson says, please check your comments on the Phoenix post for my main one. Oh, I can't be bothered. Sorry. But another question I got is really getting overhated? Is really getting overhated? By no means do I think he's a good coach, but a lot of the public is nitpicking about every little thing. I just saw someone blame JR for KP's concussion. I give every player and coach to the quarter mark of the season, and then I'd kind of drop the hammer. So my answer to that question is I'm just going to reserve a wee bit more time. But I'll admit the signs are not great. And we've had the long chat about really. Do you have an answer or do you want to move on?
Yeah. He's just his own worst enemy. You know, he's unlikable. He's prickly. He yells a lot. He whinges. It's hard to like.
Sir Chris, more of a question, but when with Perth realise that A, he really can't coach, and B, Bryce needs help. Okay, well, that's a comment. We'll take it as such. We're moving on. We just went into all that stuff. That was taking it to the tweets. Let's move on. South East Melbourne, are they done? They're 0-4. Are they done?
They're cooked, man. For sure, right? You agree?
They are bottom three in the usual advanced stats, like offensive rating, defensive rating. That's obvious. But the point of difference for me is the rebounding percentage. They're last and by a decent margin. There's just no dynamism length on this team. You've got Hunter who's got size, but there's not that sort of Cooks, Doolittle, like reach out, grab it, move with distinction. It's very every position. They're just that little bit smaller than everyone, and it shows they don't really run the floor too great. I'm out on this team, and the reason why is I've got their... I thought I did. I do... Oh, shit. I thought I had their next couple of games. Here, I do. I do have their next games. Canyon, I'll go through their next couple of games, and you tell me win or loss, okay?
Okay.
Brisbane at home.
That's a win.
All right. Melbourne at Melbourne, like, whatever we want to call that.
Loss.
At New Zealand.
Win. Be generous.
Oh, the travel, maybe. Yep. Illawarra at home.
Loss.
At Tasmania.
Loss.
Perth at home.
Oh, loss.
Yeah, it's a loss. At Sydney. Loss.
Loss.
Cairns at home.
Loss.
Loss. So that means they're going to be, over that stretch, they'll be 2-7, I think it was. So they will be 2 of 12.
2-0-4.
Two wins, 10 losses. And that's been that's given them the win over Brisbane, which they are not guaranteed. And a win in New Zealand.
Can you explain to me with this team, why did they get Hurt and Wieskamp? To me, they seem like the same dude.
Wieskamp seems
slightly worse.
I mean, my answer would be I don't know what the spend is of this team. I mean, the stadium is small. It just looks. Talk about little brother. I mean, it is little brother in every way. And my answer would be they thought, we'll patch up a lack of sort of overall roster strength with, you know, the best available, and we'll just try and make it fit. Yeah. But that's the only answer I can think of, because there's no talent around the roster, and Sobey struggled. Do you give any credence to the fact that they have played a lot of road games, and, you know, Perth have lost road games? You know, teams lose road games. Do you give them any credit?
Yeah. It makes somewhat of a difference, but it's not that much, and not the way in which they're losing. Yeah, they don't look competitive. And I'll tell you what, when are we going to accept the fact that Nathan Sobey must be a really bad teammate?
Shula was saying it as he was going out the door, right? And everyone's like, you can't say that shit, and it was a bad look. And then everyone's like, wow. But he's also selfish at the end of games, and you typically have a losing record with a guy. But come on, you can't say it out loud.
I know. It just seems like there's enough evidence at this point to say basketball teams with Nathan Sobey leading the way don't do well.
And that's the thing. They lost, it's just a simple in and out. They lost Mitch Creek. Not a perfect player, would agree, but fills a really tough role to bring in an import to. Had dynamic, had strength, overpowered people, could rebound, could score. And you bring in Sobey, a one-dimensional scorer. It's just, in what world is that an equal trade? Anyway, we talked about that in our preseason stuff. You're giving them the thumbs down and the knifing, and it's over. That's too bad.
They're done.
Yeah, bottom team or probably.
Well, they're more Brisbane. Well, yeah. Mm. Brisbane.
By the way,
worse.
Can I come up with a funny name for the Brisbane import? Cut Bateman. Cut Bate. It seems a bit obvious, but yeah. Moving on, I want to give Tyler Harvey some appreciation. Did you watch the Hawks games over the weekend? They were I watched the game against Adelaide. Yeah, it was terrific. I had such fucking fun with that game.
It was a good one. It was a really good one.
Here's why I want to
Watching Adelaide now, just quietly. I enjoy watching Adelaide games.
They're getting better. Humphries is starting to assert himself. He looked like he was getting really... He got thrown off by Harrell's energy, and now he's sort of acclimatized to it. So we ragged on him early, but he looked quite good. I want to give Tyler Harvey some love, and here's why. Tyler Harvey is in his fifth season in the NBL, but also his fifth consecutive. Andrew Kenyon, you've got an eye for history of this game and this league. Name as many imports from the past 20 years who have played more than 5 seasons. That's a very broad question without notice. Apologies, I had a Google Docs problem, everyone. Even if you just thought, okay, who are the longest serving imports of the last 10 or 20 years?
Well, you got Bryce Cotton.
He's the only import I can think of who's got a longer tenure currently than Harvey.
Yeah, because most imports only stay for a couple of years nowadays, if that.
Like even a Casper Ware kind of went, came back, changed teams, did a year off, and he did, but he wouldn't have done 5, I don't think.
Yeah, geez, I'm really trying.
And that's
to
my
just
point. Like there's probably some that we haven't thought
of. Can't think of anybody.
There's probably some we haven't thought of, but my point is here, like Tyler Harvey is one, and he's done it in a pinprick market in Illawarra, and he's hung around, and he was fun to watch the other day. Hit some big shots, couldn't hit the biggest one in the last one, which hurt. But I just wanted to say it's really important when imports stay. And boy, talk about loyalty. And also, he didn't just give 5 years when he was, you know, 35 through 40.
Mm.
He's given 5 years from when he was 27.
Peak.
Statistically and scientifically, his peak years of his prime have gone to the Illawarra Hawks, like a team that almost was a LaMelo Ball shit and all that crap and change of ownership. And this guy's just hung around. I just wanted to say tip of the cap.
Yeah, it is a good effort in a small market town as well.
Like, and he's fun to watch, man. Push see, shots, like, not so perfect player.
Guys, I mean, look at Cairns, right? Cairns can't retain a player because they all go chasing the money. They go to Sydney or they go to Melbourne. Brisbane. Yeah, they go anywhere other than Cairns. But this guy, small market town, he stayed there.
And, you know, Cotton gets a lot of love, and your locals who hang around a certain club get a lot of love. Tyler Harvey.
And what I like about Harvey is he's bounced back. Like, he was looking pretty terrible a couple of seasons ago. Oh,
dreadful.
He was looking pretty bad. But he's stuck around, and now I think he's got more talent around him.
He looks so much better.
Level of pressure to score 30.
And we criticized him in the past, and now you realize, oh, shit, when you're playing on a really low-spend, small-market team, you get mobbed. And we sort of knew it at the time, but perhaps not as definitively as we know it now. And, if he's listening, I say Tyler Harvey kind of has his fingerprints all over the NBL of what's been a pretty strong half decade for the NBL. So, yeah, tip of the cap.
And imagine how he felt before Jason Tatum was coaching. Oh. And he had, what's his name as his coach?
Flynn and Jacomus and all that sort of stuff.
Jacomus, that's the guy. See through shades.
Joke on me and us. How about that? No, I might cut that out. Moving on. NBL ex-NBA. Is this thing, has it come to an end? A lot of talk on Twitter about this. We saw
what
New
do you
Zealand,
reckon, man?
Wow, we saw New Zealand lose by 50 today. What do I think? I think it has value. Every time, Canyon, you get a chance to put your product up again next to the best, right? If you make chocolate bars, you want to be next to the Mars bar and the Snickers. You don't want to be relegated to the what's a shitty the Bounty. You don't want to be left of the Bounty. You want to be right next.
Don't touch. Yeah. Don't.
I actually love
a bounty.
I was actually like throwing myself out to the crowd there. I've heard people slag off a Bounty. I'll go to a Bounty real hard. let's get a universally hated chocolate, like a Moro. Do they sell those individual sales?
Oh yeah, yeah. Need help here. Curly Whirly.
Curly Whirly. Okay, you don't want to be near the Curly Whirlies. A chocolate with intentional holes in it. That's what. What are we doing here? This. Crisis of living cost crisis. So, I think it's important when you can put your product next to and have the NBL logo next to the NBA logo. It's just, can you work around the timing? How do you make the timing better? And the NBL used to market this and promote this a lot better a couple of years ago. It's really fallen off their care factor, and therefore it seems like a tack on. And I might sound a bit cynical here, but when Adelaide went over, blah. New Zealand have gone over, meh, yeah, whatever. But when Melbourne went and played OKC, it was like, hey, everybody, you know, our team's there. Like, there's I hate to always ring that bell, but there's a bit of that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's an idea that's run its course. I think, the NBL spends so much time promoting how we're the second best league in the world, which is bullshit.
It is bullshit.
And it looks total bullshit when you send a team over
and they get whacked by 50. And no one's watching and gives a shit.
Yeah, like I forgot it was on.
I didn't watch it. I've watched it for two seasons now. Even when Adelaide won, I didn't watch that. Watch the highlights of the win.
It's just pointless. You know, it's like, and I think it just shows in stark contrast the talent level difference that we're dealing with. And I think the NBL in its own right, Australian team playing Australian team is fantastic. Really fun product to watch. Yeah,
for sure.
Evenly matched. But when you've got NBA athletes, it's just a different situation. And I just don't think it's fair on anybody to put them up against each other.
Do you send an NBL select and do it earlier in the year? Like, how do you... The biggest problem you have is not... I agree with what you said, where the athletic drop-off is massive, but to me, you have a scheduling problem here. This is, even if the games weren't good, even if you put crap in primetime, I mean, we can go and watch Love Boat on Channel 10 in primetime. 250,000 people still watch that shit. So to me, this is a scheduling problem. How do you do something where you still get your cake and eat it too, but you're not sending over? Yeah, I mean, the beautiful thing would be an NBL select team goes over and plays, you know, like the NBL All-Star team plays an NBA team, and then they've got a real chance of winning, and that's fantastic. But I don't know how that contractually works. I don't know how that scheduling works, but I don't think throw it away. I don't. You're saying throw it in the bin. I'm saying
you need a tinker. What? How is this helping New Zealand Breakers? I don't get that.
Oh, it's hurt their season. I'm not going to deny
that. It's hurt their season? How does it help their brand? Does it win them fans? Does it win them people watching them on TV?
I think
TV?
It would. Like, honestly, I just think, I mean, man, imagine, remember when the Perth Wildcats played at that McDonald's Championship in Madrid? Was it in Madrid?
Yeah.
They went the day after they won the final, hungover or whatever, got pumped a bit. But that was important. That had value, and that was the day after they won the championship. I don't see a huge departure.
Isn't that what the Jack Jumpers just went over and did? They played some Asian sort of Champions League
thing. That's exactly my point. That had the good scheduling, and that had that. But if you don't have that NBA branding, it's not worth. It's worth nothing to most people. And even that McDonald's championship, like, that was pretty cool. Where Houston kind of went, Real Madrid, like that. Yeah. Does that tournament still exist? That was fucking awesome.
Nah, that didn't last long at all. But it's cool. That's the kind of thing I'd like to see.
That could be global. Imagine that. But nobody cares. Do it in like Doha or Abu Dhabi. You know, some rich prince puts up the money and they all come. There's something there. Some rich prince would do that, looking to funnel some ill-gotten money. Yeah, it could be fun. But no, I say don't turf up the NBA. I'm still on.
Okay.
I'm still on board.
Okay.
Right,
but you're right. It's very much. I mean, you just make the point. Like when Melbourne went and they sent like half a squadron of reporters and they were doing interviews and
if you Liam give Santa it
Maria
meaning,
was over there.
Yeah, if you give it meaning, it will have value. Yep. And so maybe it's kind of anyway. I don't know. Don't know what to say. I think that is about all. Unless you've got,
I've got something I want to ask you.
Please.
How good are Cairns? Are they?
I think they're good. In my original, the one where we had AIAC, in my original rundown of the team, I quite liked their imports. They had good resumes. I hadn't seen them. Like, who would watch tape on NBL imports? You got to be a freak. But Taron Armstrong, I thought, was ready for a step up. And I like Adam Ford as a coach. You know, a coach is good when the Wildcats have let you slip through their fingers. Scott Ryan, Ford, even Jacob Chance, the assistant coach in Tasmania, or wherever he's at. If you've slipped through the Wildcats' fingers in the post-Bendat Gleeson era, you're a good coach. I think they could push the six. And also, Cairns is always a really hard place to play. It's a really awkward spot to get to. Teams struggle up there. I think they're in that top six at a pinch conversation. Not much better than that, but that's an achievement for that team. What do you think?
I love them. I love the way they play. I love their enthusiasm. There's probably my second team.
Yeah.
If not my first team. I really like this Cairns Taipans outfit. And I think Edwards, smoky for the MVP.
Ooh, very smoky. I quite like that from you, Kenyon. That's fun. Yeah. I think Taron Armstrong looked really good. I thought he was really disappointing last year. Just didn't find his feet. Got recruited over the top of with that guy who Patrick Miller, who was probably top five in MVP voting. You know, so this year they cleared the deck for him. So,
yep,
I like their team.
I think everybody looks happy. They look balanced. And Illawarra seem like the two teams that are enjoying their basketball the most.
They play like their coach, who is good. Wildcats, for example, who've sucked up a lot of this conversation. Sorry, all the other clubs, but they play like their head coach, who's a little bit more off kilter, is what it is. Everyone, I think this is goodbye. Become a patron of the show. Follow the show on X or Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod, and follow Andrew over at Mastodon. Give him a toot. What's the handle?
at Kenyon at social.lol.
Thank you. I think that's it. Unless, Kenyon, you've got a last thing from the bulletin board you want to discuss?
Nah. Just want to say hi, everybody.
I don't know. You've got to work on these sign-offs. Bless your cotton socks, but that's, there's always next week. That's the beautiful thing.